Welcome to Making a Difference. This is a special President's Day episode. It doesn't really matter if you're listening to it on President's Day or not. I'm recording it on President's Day, and we're going to talk a lot about our new president and some of the facts about our old presidents. So I think you'll enjoy it. I'm Eric Crossley with Making a Difference, and this is a special President's Day episode, a President's Day to celebrate. Thanks for joining us. This is Season 2, Episode 6 of Making a Difference, and I'm Eric Crossley. And thanks to Dayron Arias. I know he's been crazy busy down in Florida with moving the past few weeks, and thanks for putting everything together for us for these shows and getting us back going strong again. Today is President's Day. It's February 15th. We've had a new president now for almost 1 month since Joe Biden was inaugurated on January 20th as our 46th president. Now, what is President's Day? Well, President's Day, when I was a kid, didn't really exist. We had Washington's birthday, which was February 22nd, and Lincoln's birthday, February 12th. Now, Washington's birthday on the 22nd was always a holiday, but Lincoln's birthday was a state holiday. So we actually had two holidays in California, where I grew up. Nevertheless, it was originally Washington's birthday, and he was born February 22nd, 1732. And the Uniform Monday Holiday Act of 1971 moved the holiday to the third Monday, which can actually fall from February 15th through the 21st. This year it's on the 15th. Now, keep in mind that President's Day can never fall on Washington's birthday any longer. That's been the case for over 50 years now. It also honors Lincoln's birthday, as I said, February 12th, which was never a federal holiday, but was a holiday in California. Today, it's considered patriotic to celebrate all presidents, and I'm going to celebrate most presidents today, except the last one we just had, who just left office, who we've talked about extensively, unfortunately, for the past five-plus years. But let's talk a little bit about our new president. I don't know if you all heard when I talked before about Joe Biden, but a lot of people just haven't had a familiarity with President Biden's background. And President Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., was born on November 20th, 1942 in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Biden became the sixth youngest senator in U.S. history when he was elected to the U.S. Senate from Delaware in 1972. Joe Biden was a longtime member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and eventually its chair. He chaired the Senate Judiciary Committee from 1987 to 1995. Biden ran unsuccessfully for the Democratic nomination in 1988 and 2008. And Biden was reelected to the Senate six times and was the fourth most senior senator when he resigned to serve as Barack Obama's vice president after they won the 2008 presidential election. Obama and Biden were reelected in 2012. So unlike Donald Trump, who had no political experience, and whether you think a lot of politicians or not, or you think political experience is valuable, for a president, it's pretty critical to have political experience and the ability to work with both parties, which, of course, Donald Trump didn't want to do and didn't have to do because of his base. President Biden, of course, is 78 years old. He's our oldest president to be inaugurated, but he's also faced a lot of adversity in his life. On December 18th, 1972, Biden's wife, Nelia, and their one-year-old daughter, Amy, were killed in an automobile accident in Hockessin, Delaware. Biden's sons, Beau and Hunter, respectively, suffered a broken leg and a minor skull fracture. I don't know how you get a minor skull fracture, but thank goodness that was the case. Both fully recovered. To see his sons every day, Biden commuted by train between his Delaware home and the U.S. Capitol. So this is a habit that President Biden maintained throughout his 36 years in the Senate. It's a 90-minute trip from Wilmington down to Washington, D.C. I live right here in Baltimore, kind of in between the two. So it's quite a trip. But he was on the train every day. A U.S. senator, was traveling on the train every day, meeting people, talking to people. He didn't have Secret Service protection. He didn't have any protection at all. And certainly there was people who didn't like his politics. But nevertheless, Biden credits his second wife, teacher Jill Tracy Jacobs, with the renewal of his interest in politics and life. They met in 75 on a blind date. They were married at the United Nations Chapel in New York in June of 1977. So that's a little bit of background about President Biden, who is far from a perfect man, but has had an illustrious and amazing political life and a personal life and story to tell. And he's already accomplishing a lot in the first month. So we'll be talking more about that, of course, as we move along further with our new president. I wanted to talk a little bit about some other presidents. Now, there's a lot of controversy about whether President's Day is for all presidents or for just Washington or just Washington and Lincoln. I'm going to put it this way. I'm honoring personally most presidents today. I'm not going to honor the last one because he is a traitor to the United States. By the way, just as a sidebar, I'll have a special episode coming up in the next couple of days on the 43 senators, the 43 Republican senators who voted to acquit former President Trump, despite the fact he was proven time and time again to be a traitor, trying to overthrow our U.S. government, trying to overthrow the election and steal the election. And he sent his people to the Capitol and he almost accomplished it. And these 43 senators who were there, stupid enough to be there, they're still kissing Trump's butt. Anyway, we'll have more on that in a non-President's Day episode where we'll talk about it. Let's talk a little bit about, we're going to do this every once in a while, go back and talk about different presidents. We talk so much about Donald Trump and what a disgusting traitor he is and will always be remembered in U.S. history. But we had a lot of presidents that people don't even really know about. One of them, President Henry Harrison. When I was a kid in school, I wanted to do a report on a president. Nobody did. And President Harrison, well, he was one of those. He was an American military officer and politician who served as the ninth president of the United States in 1841. Now, the reason we say he served in 1841 was he died of either typhoid, pneumonia, or paratyphoid fever 31 days into his term, becoming the first president to die in office and the shortest serving U.S. president in U.S. history. He was 68, about 5 years older than me, when he passed away, unfortunately, on April 4th, 1841. And he did die, unfortunately, after giving the longest speech in inauguration speech in history, 1 hour, 40 minutes, 8,578 words. And it's believed that he succumbed because of the effects of speaking in the pouring rain in Washington on that March 4th day in 1841. But we're here to honor presidents. So we want to say that the late President Henry Harrison was in fact the last president born as a British subject in the 13 colonies before the Declaration of Independence in 1776. He had a distinguished and extremely successful military career. His father was a famous patriot who opposed the Stamp Act and signed the Declaration of Independence. The family home was attacked and ransacked during the American Revolution. He had a grandson, in fact, Benjamin Harrison, who was the 23rd president of the United States. And Henry Harrison, in 1812, he rejoined the military. He'd always had a successful career, unfortunately, in the Indian Wars, which we won't talk about as a kind of a negative, very negative time in U.S. history. But nevertheless, at the time, he was considered a hero for that. But President Harrison ended the war as a major general of the Northwest Territories. His forces retook Detroit and decidedly won the Battle of Thames, becoming a national hero in the process. So again, every president, with the exception of the most recent one and a few others, has something that we can always look back in history and say was positive. I think that the one we have right now, we'll have to wait and see. We hope President Biden and Vice President Harris will do a great job, but we're going to have to give them some time to get that first 100 days in. And moving forward, just a lot to go. We do know some good news we've had over the past couple of weeks as the numbers have gone down in the coronavirus and infections, and we're hoping that's a national trend, and the vaccines will continue to help more and more people avoid it completely. We'll keep you up to date on that. Now, as we wrap up and go forward with the rest of our President's Day episode, we wanted to talk about some presidents just to give you some fun facts. We've done so much talking about all the negatives we've had right down the road, 40 miles down the Baltimore-Washington Parkway in Washington, D.C., since Donald Trump was president and became president just over 4 years ago in 2017. We want to talk about positives moving forward, and we've tried to do that in the last few shows, but let's talk about some positives in the past, because now there's a lot of people have negative thoughts about presidents, and we hear a lot of negative things about every president, and now with social media, we're going to hear more and more about President Biden. Let's go back and look at some fun facts, some interesting facts about former presidents. This comes to us from factretriever.com. Are these 100% accurate? I believe so, because of their sources, but again, you'll have to go back and ask George Washington and some of those people to find out for sure. Now, one thing, the only president to be unanimously elected was George Washington. He lived from 1732 to 1799. He refused to accept his presidential salary of $25,000 a year. Now, I think $25,000 a year back in those days was a lot of money. Grover Cleveland was the only president in history to hold the job of hangman. He was once the sheriff of Erie County, New York, and twice he had to spring the trap at a hanging. I think, and I'm not guaranteeing this because I'm not going to be alive 50 years from now or 200, none of us will be, but I'm still thinking that even after Donald Trump, we're not going to have another president who is going to be a hangman. But we shall see. Now, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were once arrested together for taking a carriage ride in the countryside of Vermont on a Sunday, which violated the laws of that state. There used to be a lot of blue laws and Sunday laws back in the day. Here in Maryland, in fact, bars up until, I think it was about 20 years ago, could not be open on Sunday. And liquor stores couldn't either. And now, it's pretty much the case where you can, pre-corona anyway, go anywhere on a Sunday and get a drink. James Garfield is the first president to ever talk on the phone. When he spoke to Alexander Graham Bell, who was at the other end, 13 miles away, he said, quote, "Please speak a little more slowly." So that was, unfortunately, James Garfield. President Garfield was also the first president to be assassinated in 1881 in Washington, D.C. Now, the term OK derives from President Martin Van Buren, 1782 to 1862, who was known as Old Kinderhook because he was raised in Kinderhook, New York. OK clubs were created to support Van Buren's campaigns. So that's where OK came from. That's always nice to know. You can tell people that if you want to bore some people with some facts they really don't need to know, but it's still an interesting one. President Grover Cleveland, 1837 to 1908, is the only president to be elected to two non-consecutive terms. He was the 22nd and 24th president. Let's hope that does not happen and have the 45th and 47th president be the same, because if Donald Trump gets reelected, our country is elected again. Toast, I'm afraid. Martin Van Buren was the first U.S. president to be born a United States citizen. All previous presidents were born British subjects. President Dwight Eisenhower, 1890 to 1969, was the only U.S. president to serve in both World War I and World War II. And that, I believe, will stay forever. Jimmy Carter, we call him Jimmy Carter. President Carter was the first president to be born in a hospital. So again, you think about the long terms we're going back and thinking about in the past, and more of that is becoming up as we go into the future. President James Buchanan, 1791 to 1868, quietly but consistently bought slaves in Washington, D.C., and then set them free in Pennsylvania. So James Buchanan, keep President Buchanan in mind. He bought slaves and set them free in Pennsylvania. And, we have to look back at time, and we have to look back at the era these presidents were in and give them a break and a thank you for that. Now, James Buchanan is also the only bachelor president. He was virtually inseparable from William R. King, 1786 to 1853, a senator from Alabama, earning the pair the nickname Miss Nancy and Aunt Fancy, and Mr. Buchanan and his wife. Now, were they homosexuals? Almost definitely. James Buchanan was never married, and back then you didn't tell people what you were if you were gay, of course, and they just surmised it. And to be called Miss or Mrs. or Nancy, those were derogatory terms towards homosexuals. Actually, the term Nancy and some of these other ones are still used in parts of this country and parts of the world, although not as much as in the past. So James Buchanan, very interesting president. You might want to research more about there. Lyndon Baines Johnson, and I want to conclude this episode talking about Lyndon Johnson a little bit. President Johnson, 1908 to 73, he only lived to be 65, was affectionately called the many women he slept with. He had a buzzer, actually, in his, called him his harem, and he had a buzzer in the Oval Office, and he rang the Secret Service. So they weren't actually rang him when his wife was coming, so he could be forewarned. President Johnson was known as quite a philanderer, fooled around with a lot of women, as did President Kennedy and many, many of them. But what I wanted to say about President Johnson is this: he was known, for his rough language, his rough ways. He was from Texas. Lyndon Baines Johnson, in 68, did not run for re-election because of the Vietnam War. But President Johnson took over in November of 1963 when President Kennedy was assassinated. I don't know if he wanted to be president or not, but he became president in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. And then the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and 65 came along, and it was truly some of the most important legislation in the history of this country. And President Johnson was the main reason it happened. The Civil Rights Act, what happened in 1965, the reason it happened was because of people like President Johnson, who said, you know what? What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. Where I'm from, people are wrong, what they think, most of them. And slavery was wrong, and the way black people were treated was wrong. And we have to fight for this, and I don't care about my political career. Do you get many people doing that these days? Do you hear many people in the Republican Party, for instance, as an example, with this past president, still to this day are still defending a lying, treasonous president? And then we have presidents like Lyndon Johnson, who, as rough as he was and difficult as he was at times, actually had empathy and caring and made a difference so that now, some 56 years later, we're still talking about him on President's Day. I'm talking about President Johnson because he was one of the key people who got the Civil Rights Act passed. And that's the reason why Democrats lose the South and have been losing the South since 1965 because of that. That's why they started losing the South, because white people said, oh, the Democrats aren't for us anymore. The Democratic Party used to be a pro-white party. In the South, Dixiecrats, Democrats down there. Then President Johnson in 1965 came along, and when President Kennedy was assassinated, everybody in the South thought, we got a president in the White House now, President Johnson. And boy, were they surprised. Now, he had, unfortunately, a lot of trouble with the Vietnam War, and that brought him down. He made a lot of mistakes. A lot of people died. because of that and didn't handle it well, but he wasn't the only one in this country. Nevertheless, we will look back on history on a president like that and say, thank you. Okay. We'll look back when President Obama was president and we have civil rights for LGBTQ people, when gay people can join the military, when the Defense of Marriage Act was gone, and now gay people could get married. So all of these things have happened. Every president, with a few exceptions, has something to remember them by. And so I'm going to leave you on a positive note and say, I hope that our President Biden and maybe President Harris in the future will leave us with a lot of positives. And we can put Donald Trump and Mike Pence and the horrible Republicans behind us. But we have a lot more to talk about in the next episode about what we call the Dirty 43. We're going to be talking about them a lot. The 43 senators who voted to acquit in the Senate Donald Trump, despite the fact that he was proven, in his own words, to be a traitor to the United States and attempting to overthrow the government. I'm 63 years old. I never believed in a million years I'd be saying that, but here I am. Nevertheless, congratulations again to President Biden. I'll say that a million times over. And we hope that 2021, 2022, and moving forward, that we'll have a lot more positive things to say about this current president and his successes. I'm Eric Crossley, Making a Difference. Please join us for that next episode. It's going to be a doozy, folks, and we're not going to, no holes barred, as Grandma Crossley used to say. I'm Eric Crossley, reporting from Baltimore. Thanks for listening, for Making a Difference. Have a great day.